Acts chapter 2, 1 through 47. Now, these fellows are working on this PA system, and I know I don't know what I'm doing, and it seems like they don't know what they're doing. But hopefully we'll get it all together. Delighted to see all of you here tonight. We had a grand time yesterday, and I see Jimmy and Mary Sanders and Margaret and her daughter there. I think my eyes are, that's Rita, I believe. I think I got it right. Did I get it right, Jimmy? Did I get it right? I don't know what happened to you. I'll just take a few minutes to just talk. Now that's Courtney there. That's who that is. That's Courtney. That's the boss. Well, I just saw Jimmy walk in there and with a cane. I don't know what happened to him. Maybe his wife been whooping him or something, but he walked with a walking cane now, you know. But it's good to see all of you here tonight. Good. Appreciate the prayer. And Brother George, you did a good job singing. Just to look at you, you don't look like you know nothing, but you can sing. He's a good song leader. I tell you what, he's my favorite writer. I love him, boy. He's got a good sense of humor. Good sense of humor. And we appreciate him. We appreciate this mighty church. And I want to say thanks to the leadership for inviting me and all of the gospel preachers and congregation from around. We thank you for coming. And a few words about Garland Robinson. I've been knowing him a long time. I used to worry him to death about computers. And I know he got sick of me, but he's a good man, a very capable gospel preacher. He's a good organizer, and he's been doing a good job for many years. And I hope God continue to bless all of you. If you're here tonight and you're not a member of the body of Christ, this meeting was pitched in mind with you in mind, rather. Pitched with you in mind. Tonight, turn, if you would, to Acts. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 44. Acts 2 and verse number 44. The record says, "And all that believed were together and had all things common." Obviously, you see our subject tonight. At the beginning. What do you mean at the beginning? You know, Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning." I think in the Hebrew, it's just God. That's where they started out, God. But in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. That was the creation of the cosmos. It was the beginning. Everything that has a beginning has an end. But we have a new beginning. The first God created man in his own image and likeness. Creation, that was the creation of mankind. And God started it off with a miracle. Adam was never a boy. And Eve was never a baby. They were grown. They're full grown. God started this thing off called a human race with a miracle. After that, he used seed. I'm going to put this up here. Seed. This is very important. Seed. S-E-E-D. Seed. Seed. That's right. That baby, that's right. When the babies can say it, I'm doing all right. Everything after creation is procreation. Are you listening? Seed. From after Adam and Eve started this thing off, God, it was a miracle when God did that. After that, seed, all the way down to now, is seed. At one time in Genesis chapter 6, God didn't destroy the whole world, but he left some seed. Who we have? It was 8 souls, the Bible says. 8 souls were saved by water. You wonder about that? God never started this thing all over again as a miracle. He preserved seed. We had Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, right? And their wives. Well, here we have a new beginning. Peter says, when they call him on the carpet for fraternizing with the Jewish people, Peter rehearsed the matter to him, Acts 11, and Peter says, at the beginning, the Holy Spirit fell on them as on us at the beginning. The beginning of what? The beginning of the new dispensation. When did it start? Pentecost. Well, this is another kind of creation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Let me tell you something. That was the beginning point. On the day of Pentecost, listen, after the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ and the ascension to heaven, listen to me. Something happened. It was a special Pentecost. Listen to me now. The Holy Spirit came. Amen. The church started off in a miracle. Amen, somebody. Pretty good? At the beginning. And now we have new creatures. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So on the day of Pentecost, look what happened. When those about 3,000 souls were baptized, they were a new creation. The first creation was Adam. You got it? The first man, Adam. But this second man from heaven, Adam, is Christ Jesus, and is spiritual. So we are baptized into Christ for the remission of sin, and we are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Is that all right, God? Well, let's run down this a moment here. At the beginning, all that believe, now brethren, listen to this, all that believe are the ones that obeyed the gospel of Christ. There's no such thing as a person being a believer and had not obeyed the gospel of Christ. That is false. All that believed, obeyed the gospel of Christ, were together and had all things coming. What happened? Something happened. We're going to find out. Okay? But we can always go back to the beginning and we can find out what's going on. Let's do this quickly here now. Let me just give you an outline of Acts chapter 2:1-47. Are y'all still with me? Now, Brother Garland should have some copies of this. I think you made some copies, and these folks can study this lesson. And it's a good tool to study. Well, let's look at this here. Number eight, look what we have here. We have 2:1, we have special Pentecost. All right. Number B, 2-13, we have supernatural power. Then we have number C, we have scriptural preaching. What do you mean scripture preaching? I didn't think the New Testament was written. It wasn't written then. But they had scripture, they had the Torah, they had the Old Testament. And he started off preaching from the book of Joel chapter 2. Is it all right? And one thing that Joel said, he shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's not talking about prayer. But what does whosoever call on the name of the Lord, what does that mean? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what it is. Because Peter told them how to call on the Lord. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. That's how you call on the name of the Lord. It's not talking about prayer. Good? All right. Now, let's just go a little further here. Then, number D, we got saved people were and is, Acts chapter 2:37-42. I missed here Acts 2:14-36. Pretty good. Now, we're going to deal primarily here. And then number E, we got suitable programs. All that's in that Acts chapter 2, verse 1-47. Brethren, the reason I do this, I don't do this to show off. I do this to help some preacher, some Bible school, and some student of the Bible, rather than going and pull a text out and just quote it, and never find out what the whole context is all about. You see that? Now, this special Pentecost, let me do this here now. Darling, you didn't give me a time here, but this is a long sermon here. Special Pentecost. The word Pentecost, listen to me. The word Pentecost, it means 50. You got it? Like the Pentagon got five sides. Like the Pentateuch, five books. You got it? Now, Pentecost always, brother, listen to me. It always came on the first day of the week. What you say? How do you come up with Pentecost? Where did they start counting? Count seven Sabbaths from the Passover feast. 7 times 7 is 49. When I was going to school, that's what it was. I don't know how it is now. They got everything all messed up now. 7 times 7, 49, right? 49, is that right? Pentecost always came after the 49th day. After 7 Sabbath, Pentecost came. It came on the 50th day, and it was always on the first day of the week. It's so much I could deal with to see it. First day of the week. Do you know anything about the first day of the week? The first day of the week. The church of our Lord got started on the first day of the week. Christ was raised from the dead on the first day of the week. We partake the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, right? In the Greek, I believe it is, these are scholars here, the word Kyriakos, that which belonged to the Lord. It's the Lord's day. And it's the Lord's Supper that we take on the first day of the week. Pretty good? Somebody said, what about Sunday worship? Sunday's not in the Bible. I like my Adventists like to jump on me. Sunday worship. Saturday's not in the Bible. You have the seventh day, but you also have the first day. The first day of the week. Mark chapter 16, verse number 9, the Bible says early on the first day of the week, Jesus Christ was resurrected from the grave. How many of you believe that? All right, now let's go then. Pretty good? Now, so, this Pentecost here. Now, of course you had other days, the start was the Feast of Weeks, Exodus 34:22, Deuteronomy 10-6, Feast of Harvest, Exodus 23:16, Feast of the First Fruits, Exodus 23:16, and Numbers 28:26. Now, listen to me. The Passover feast, watch it, seven Sabbaths, at except that 49 days. Then you turn in 4-5 and 15-16, the day after Pentecost, which always came on the first day of the week. Brethren, that's important. And all members of the Church of Christ need to know this. They need to know. They need to know why we worship God on the first day of the week. Some of them don't know. We don't do it out of tradition. That's good, isn't it, brother? Well, that's significant. Well, let's go here. After all of this right here, now, this Pentecost here, And all of the Jews were required, the boys that were required to go to Jerusalem, according to Deuteronomy 16:16, three times a year. And Pentecost was one of them. And to see how God fixed that thing there? It was the harvest celebrating the harvest coming to Jerusalem, right? And what a good time to, for the church of our Lord to start is the Feast of Harvest of Souls. You see that? Now when Pentecost, day of Pentecost came, something happened. There was supernatural power. The apostles, watch it, began to speak in tongues. They spoke in languages. Listen, these people that were there said, how hear we them speak in our own tongues wherein we were born? Approximately 17 different languages and dialects the apostles spoke without study. There's not a bird anywhere in the world can do that today. Nobody can speak in tongues like that. No, tongues really are a language. Why? Why were the apostles able to speak in tongues? Brother, listen to me. The apostles of Jesus Christ, of course, Paul was born out of due season, they were to be forever the teachers of the world. How in the world could they obey the words of Jesus when he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he talked about the sign. How could they do that without the Holy Spirit guiding them into all truth and equip them to speak any language in the world without study? Now, brother, that's power. Nobody can do that today. I think you're a missionary. Do you? You folks that come from America and just come over in and speak the folk language? You have to have an interpreter. Is that right? All right. Well, let's go a little further here now. So supernatural power. And see, that got their attention. This miracle got the attention. And when it got the attention, Peter started preaching scripture. Guess what Peter said? Peter said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Boy. And he went on down and he preached. Now watch this. From verse 21 to 36, guess what Peter preached? Let me show you what he preached. This is what he preached. He preached Christ. That's exactly what he did. Listen, and we do the same. He preached the gospel. Of course, I have it, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. We find the Savior, his death, his burial, his resurrection from the grave, and his ascension to heaven, Acts 1:9-11. You see that? Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, shedded his blood. Brethren, listen to me. He brought one church, one people. They're called the called out, the ecclesia. Hebrews call them the called out ones. They're Christians, and you can call God's people anything that the New Testament calls them. But you cannot call them something that the New Testament doesn't call them. New Testament call nobody no primitive Baptist. Where'd that come from? A Baptist, Southern Baptist, Northern Baptist, Methodist, what? Somebody's a Pentecost, right? Pentecost is in the Bible, yeah. If you're going to call yourself a Pentecost, why don't you use Passover? It's in the Bible too. Well, let's go a little further here. So Peter preached. He preached the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ and his ascension to heaven. And Peter said he's on David's throne right now. Now watch this. He was really preaching Christ. And before he finished, guess what they cried out? They cried out and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Boy, look at that. Now remember the question, what shall we do? Boy. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the prophets, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, God had made this same Jesus, verse 36, both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They were pricked. What shall we do? Watch it. They believed. Look here. Everybody, large words. Amen. Number two, converted to the Lord. Then Peter said unto them, what did it say, Garland? Say it, Garland. What does it say?
Repent.
What? Brethren, do you know what repentance is? In Matthew 21, verse 28, Jesus said, what think ye? A certain man had two boys, and he told the first one, go work today in my vineyard. And he said, he came to the first one, and he said, I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. So what does repentance mean? Repentance means he changed his mind. Peter told, brethren, listen to this. My Baptist and denominational people and Catholics and all of them, all those birds, they are wrong. At the beginning, when this thing first got started off, to get into the church, to be saved, Peter told them, after they heard the gospel of Christ and believed it, Peter told them to repent. Repent of what? Sin. Are you converted to the Lord Jesus Christ? I got to stop here. Brethren, we're going to get out in time. What do you mean? Brethren, this old idea of convincing a man to be immersed in water, that's not conversion. I can convince anybody to go in the water and be immersed in water, but they might not be converted to Christ. These people were pricked in their heart. Now, wait a minute. I remember when I first, before I obeyed the gospel one Sunday morning in my garage, I had found out from 5 years of study that I was wrong in Catholicism and I was still in my sins. And I knew that if I die, have not obeyed the gospel, I would not go to heaven. I knew that. I was convinced of that. I said, I'm lost. A man, if he don't think he's lost, he won't change. See, this is kind of preaching right here points out. See, if you, listen, if you're not a member of the Lord's church, you're not saved. You may feel good. Now, these folk were told to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and to your children and all them that are far off, even as many as our Lord God shall call. And with many, listen to this, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this unjoyed generation. Now watch this, brethren. We have convinced by the Lord, our word. Listen, converted to the Lord, connected to the Lord. How are you connected with the Lord? And be baptized, every one of you. You are not connected to the Lord until after you've heard, believe, repent, confess, and baptized into Christ. You're not in connected. You have made the connection. And the world has not made the connection. I heard these guys, some of the smartest Baptists, I heard some brainy guys. Just say the sinner's prayer. Sinner's prayer? For an alien sinner? How in the world can an alien sinner talk to God? And he's a sinner. Eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and ears are open to their cries, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Oh boy. Connected to the Lord, calling on the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ, cleansed by the Lord for the remission of sin, controlled by the Lord, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, called by the Lord for the promise unto you and your children and all them that are far off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. And with many other words that he testified, said, save yourself from this untoward generation. Complying with the Lord. Watch this. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. I want to ask the question. How many times you ever been to a Baptist revival or whatever they call it, where they ever told anybody to repent? They just say, accept Jesus in your heart and just believe and say the sinner's prayer. Brother, that is a bunch of foolishness. And there's millions of people following that doctrine. And my brethren are scared to open their mouth to preach the truth. I'm not scared. I'm not afraid at all. Jimmy, I'm not scared, Jimmy. Oh, got too old to be scared now. In a few years, it'll be checking out. 75 years old, can't have too much more time left. What am I scared of? Oh, no. That good? Now, look here. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized. You know why you haven't been baptized? Now, have you been taught? Okay, now. You don't gladly receive the word. If you gladly receive the word, you'll be baptized. And nobody have to beg you. No, they don't have to beg you. You ought to go ahead up there and be baptized. What? You want to urge somebody to be immersed in water. If they're not converted to the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of their sin, they don't need no water unless they're going to drink it or take a bath. That's right. And if you're here and you haven't been baptized into Christ for the remission of sin and added to the church of Christ, nobody, the Lord never added anybody to the denomination church. Never. From Genesis to Revelation, you cannot find anywhere where the Bible says the Lord added to the Baptist church or the Pentecostal. Now, brethren, you know what's causing all this stuff? See, when Peter preached that message, there was a seed. Seed. When the Holy Spirit came, it came with a miracle. And the Lord's church came, and guess what came along with it? The seed. What is the seed? The seed is the word of God. And the seed of the kingdom, which is the word of God, sown in a man's heart, never make a Baptist. It won't make a Presbyterian Methodist. What will it make? It'll make, no, don't say Church of Christ. No, it'll make a Christian. Amen. What'd you say? It'll make a Christian. And everybody knows that it isn't but one church. And that's the Lord's church. Right? And all of them are called Christians. None of the folks in this church are called Baptists. Now, somebody looking at me real funny says, this guy must be losing his mind. Somebody needs to say this. Well, then they gathered to see the word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now watch this now. When the law of Moses was given on Sinai, you know what the Bible says in Exodus? About 3,000 people died. About 3,000 died. Over here, when this law was given in Jerusalem, about AD 33, when Peter preached the first gospel, about 3,000 were delivered. Now watch this. Now, here's the sinners. They heard the gospel. They believe it. In Acts 7, Peter said, after there had been much disputing, Peter rose and said, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago that God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe it. See that? What do you mean? His death, burial, and the resurrection is sent to heaven. He's made that sacrifice for us. Now, brethren, all of the merit in our salvation is right here. Wait a minute. When you hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, you didn't merit your salvation. Don't you think one time this is your Savior? Christ is your Savior. So these sinners here, they were saved. They were in the world. Now they added to the same church. Now look what we're having. Look at this. Verse 47 there. 44. It says, and. See right here? That's now. Look at me. These people heard, believed, repented, confessed, and were baptized. They're in the church, in the same church. They're saints. That's what they are. So, you got continuation. Stay with me. I want you to notice all of these ands. It says, And they continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayer. You see all the conjunction there? That means something. And. Like a company. Any ladies, any of you ladies, cake decorate. Don't be shit. Cake decorate. I don't even know what a cake is. We buy our cakes at Walmart. Oh yeah. Well, when you're using a coupling, you got an ice bag there and you want to change your coupling, put another tip on there to make a rose or make different designs. It's called a coupling. You see that? A coupling. Now, you old timers here, somebody older than I am, when we was born, there was a thing on a wagon called a coupling pole. See, these guys, they act like they don't know what a wagon was. But Brother George, you know what a wagon is. I guarantee you know what a coupling pole is. The coupling pole holds the front and the back wheel together. And just like a train, there's a coupling right between the locomotive, the engine, and there's a one right behind. And whatever, if the engineer is going north, the one behind him going north, that ain't that coupling pole. Now, look at this. All this here, and, they all hooked up together. Now watch this. This is very important. Now, it says, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What is that? That's education. That's school. That's schooling. Look at me. You know what'll make us one? If we continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, we're gonna be fine. You can get along in it. I tell my brother at home, I said, listen here, if you get away from the doctrine, people will not fellowship you if you don't have, if they got good sense, they won't. When you find out congregations or individuals off on the apostles' doctrine, brethren, listen to me. You can't fellowship them. Doctrine comes before fellowship. Oh boy. Doctrine comes before fellowship. Somebody said, Brother Shannon, why is it that you won't fellowship the Baptist? I said, if they follow the apostle doctrine, we will. What? Okay, watch this in there. Fellowship, continuing the apostle doctrine. That's the schooling. And fellowship. What? That's sharing. Right? Edification. Right? Now, if there is no apostle doctrine first, we can't fellowship you. Any church that will not follow the apostle doctrine and come up with traditional men can't fellowship them. Why? When they started off, all that believed, that's what verse 44 said, all that believed were together, and it said they had all things in common. But brethren, is it possible? You better say amen where you can, because I'm getting ready to say some stuff going to be pretty rough. Now watch this man. The Episcopalian Church and the Methodist Church, they have women bishops, women preachers, priests. Even the Baptist Church got women preachers. Now, why is it wrong just because we say it? No. You got to go to the apostle doctrine to find out why. Because Paul said, I suffer not a woman to teach, or you suffer the thought to the man, but to be in silence. Now watch this. Well, they accept gays and lesbians in their congregation. They're active gays and lesbians, and they fellowship. We got to love. I heard the old Pope say that we got to love these people. Yeah, I love you. I love you well enough to tell you the truth. You cannot practice homosexuality and lesbianism, and we fellowship you. And listen to me. And if a person says, I'm a a woman said, I'm a bishop in the Presbyterian Church. We want to celebrate a fellowship, the Church of Christ. We can't do it. Why? Here's the talk right here. You get your doctrine right, we'll fellowship you. Alright? Here's another one. Look at, and you know, it's not that much different between the Church of Christ and the Christian Church. It ain't that much different. They take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. The only thing is they just use mechanical instruments. That's the only difference. Well, here's the problem. Watch this. Show me in the Apostles' Doctrine where it's authorized to use mechanical instruments of music. Somebody said, well, if it doesn't forbid it, if it doesn't forbid it, you can do it. Wait a minute. No. In the Apostle Doctrine, Ephesians 5:19, it says, speaking to yourselves, listen to me, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. I believe that in the Church of Christ, we all have instruments. What is the instrument? It's the heart. And brethren, we got to come down hard on this. Because some of my brethren are slipping. And I'm watching. I'm watching my brethren like I'm watching the Baptists. A lot of my brethren come up with a bunch of foolishness. In so-called praise teams. Groups up singing during the worship of God. Worship, watch it. That's when we give homage to God and God tells the worshipers how to worship. We don't tell God how we're going to worship him. He tells us. Let's give God a hand. What? Let God give you a hand because we're the audience. God is the audience. We're not the audience. We talk to me now. All right. Now watch this, brother. Listen to me. The Bible didn't say, vocal. It didn't say vocal. Somebody said, well, just use vocal. Well, whistling is vocal. Harmony is vocal. But the Holy Spirit said specifically, sing. Hebrews 2:12, in the midst of the church, I will sing praises. Sing. Boy, that's all right, isn't it? Sing. Brother George, you did a good job. I know you had a rough day today, but you did a good job. That's your heart. All right. Watch this. And breaking of bread. Adoration. That's worship. Oh, boy. In Acts 20, verse number 1-7, it was so important to meet on the first day of the week. Paul tarried 7 days in order to meet with the saints on the first day of the week, and they did it every week. On the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, and they did it every week. Take the Lord's Supper. Amen. Now, listen now. The Bible says, listen to me, the Bible says in Luke that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. Where's the Lord's Supper? Where's the table of the Lord? Somebody said, wait a minute. No. Let me tell you something, brother. Listen. See, the denomination people could come in here and they could take the little loaf and the fruit of the vine and drink it. But they're not fellowshipping with the Lord. Why? You got to be in the kingdom to fellowship with Christ. And if you, listen, brother, people who are not in Christ Jesus, they are not in the church of Christ. The Bible tells us, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 21, the holy temple in the Lord. Now, if the temple is the worship place, and we make up the temple and is in the Lord, if a person is not in the Lord, they cannot worship. Come and worship with us. You can't worship in the Lord's church until you become a member of the church. Amen, brother. Acts 20 said, that's good, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 11. Now, then it says, and in prayer. Look at this. You know, on the day of Pentecost, look at this. The Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking the bread, and prayer. Do you know they was not fit to pray and take the Lord's Supper until they was baptized into Christ for the remission of sin? What you say, Brother Shannon? Listen to me, brother. People, listen. Prayer. You know, in America, in America, really, generally speaking, we're some ignorant people in America when it comes to religion. Now, we're smart in a lot of other stuff. And we're too smart in some of this stuff. We're too smart. Because every time you think that a man and a man can marry, there's something wrong with us. We lost it. We way out in left field. Two women getting married. What? Somebody said, well, I don't see nothing wrong with that. I said, well, let's do it like this then. Jimmy, they always think they got me. I said, well, you know, my mama is 97 years old and she's single. Maybe I ought to marry my mama. The guy said, what? Marry your mother? Well, you want to marry a man? See how silly that is? Well, I got a granddaughter that's 32 years old, and maybe I ought to marry my granddaughter. Well, I got a daughter. Why don't I ought to marry my daughter? I've got a son. Why don't I want to marry my son? See how silly that is? It's not funny now, is it? I got a granddaughter. Hey, look here. Maybe I ought to marry my granddaughter. That's what when these silly people speak that silly stuff to me about same-sex marriages. Listen, brethren, that's not apostle doctrine. Paul said in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 14, Paul said, I will that the young women marry, have children. Now, you know what? We all messed up in America. In America, guess what they say? Just have children, don't get married. That's why people are going down. Paul said, I will that young women marry, have children. How are two women going to marry and have children? Biological. Can't do it. Two big old rusty men with beard talking about we in love. Kissing on TV. Brother, that's filthy. What in the world is wrong with us? I told my wife, I said, I may have to get my shotgun and shoot that TV. It's a crying shame. You turn the TV on, two black guys sitting there with beard kissing one another. I said, man, look at that girl. Turn that thing off. That's sick. That's low. Why, a rooster and a hen, rooster got more sense than that. If you see another rudder rooster running after another rooster, he's not trying to mate with him. He's trying to get him from his hen house. That's right, you know. Two bulls trying to mate. And here we are made in the image of God. And we act like heathens. You know what, brother? This whole idea of America is a Christian country. America is not a Christian country. We just like the heathen. And used to stand for something. But see, this stuff is creeping into the church of our Lord. Just go on the internet and look at some of these congregations. It's absolutely ridiculous. They ought to take down the name of Church of Christ because they lost to stand for truth. Why don't you put a baptism or denomination name up there? Don't call yourself the Lord's Church. We're different from the world. Amen, somebody. Amen. I just look at it and say, I don't believe. Is this the America that I grew up as a child in? Brother George, you ever heard anything like that? And brother, let me tell you something. It's worse than you think it is. You come out of these hills. Oh, you don't have to come out of the hills. Just go in there and turn that computer on and start browsing. You'll be shocked. And you see the folks in Washington, they don't have no better sense. They endorse that foolishness. Amen. Now see, brother, this kind of stuff eventually, what's going to happen, Brother Garland, if you preach like this, one of these days we'll be slaughtered. Because they consider us as the bad people. Y'all are so negative. Prayer. They took prayer out of school. Prayer never been in the school. Prayer has always been in the church among God's people. Lick your fingers and go to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 12. Turn over there and look at it. Let's turn over there and look at it. I want to show you something. Oh boy. Yeah, we get out of here in a minute here. Pretty good? 1 Peter 3, verse number 12, it says, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Brethren, listen to them. The righteous. People who are not in Christ, they are not righteous. Please, brethren, get this. People who are not in Christ Jesus, they're in their sins, and it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from our sins. And you contact the blood when you're baptized into Christ. So they're not righteous. The text says the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now watch this. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. It's not that God can't save you because of your sins and iniquity. He's separated from you. You need to listen. And if you're a member of the Church of Christ, and if you think you can live like the world out there living, all this ungodly stuff that's going on, and you think that God will hear your prayers, you're whistling Dixie. I got to pull something loose here, boy. I think I'll get it here. I'll get all excited. Put it back in here. There it is. I'll tell you what, I don't know what's going on here, boy. Somebody's going to have to tip me for all these ropes and things they got on me now. Get me hooked up like a mule or something here, man. Is that all right? But, brother, we need to do this. We need to do that. Why in the world can't we all the churches, so-called, they say, you know, we're all Christians. Wait a minute, man. Listen, there aren't any Christians but in but one church. The Bible says in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, when you had Jewish teachers and Gentile converts amalgamating in the one body down at Antioch, and the Bible said the disciples were first called Christian Antioch. Why? You know, the Baptists say that was just a nickname or a name of derision. That's false. Isaiah 62, I believe, in 65, it talks about a new name that the mouth of the Lord should name. They went to Antioch and went up to Barnabas, went and found Paul and brought him down there. That name, I think, came in Paul. And you know what? They were called Christian, first at Antioch. And when Paul preached to Agrippa, you know what Agrippa said? Watch this. Agrippa said, almost thou persuaded me to be Church of Christ. No! That ain't what he said. And brethren, stop telling people you're Church of Christ. Amen. You're not Church of Christ. You're a Christian in the Church of Christ. Amen. Boy, boy, boy. We all right. We gonna make something work here. Carl, you all right, Carl? All right. brethren, I'm not a Church of Christ preacher. I'm a gospel preacher. You're not Church of Christ. You're a Christian in the body of Christ. Don't let the denomination people make you think that the Church of Christ is a denomination. The Church of our Lord Jesus Christ is not a denomination, neither part of a denomination. It is the body of Christ. A denomination signifies division, and division is contrary to the teaching of the New Testament, of the whole scripture. All speak the same thing. There be no division among us. Now, here's the Christ. criteria by which we can be one. Right here. First, apostle doctrine. Then we fellowship. Then we can worship, right? And then we can pray. Yes, sir, boy, I tell you what, this, we're going to make it all right. I think I talked long enough. It's time to go home.
Reach out, brother. Reach out.
Anybody here that's in some denomination, and I need to take my time and say this. I don't want you to think that John Shannon and folks in the Church of Christ think they're the only one that's right. The Bible is what's right.
Amen.
And if we conform to it, we will be right. Amen. Gotta do this. God and I do it often. Here's a yardstick, 36 inches. You want to know how far it is from point A to point B? You don't have to guess. Dream on it. If you can read this, you look at it right there. Boy, look at it. Ooh, 19 and a half. You can be exactly right. Somebody said, well, you just can't be exactly right. Okay? Here's a level. You know, folks know what a level is? Huh? Tell you what you do with a level. A level is no respect of building. There's no respect of building. It's not like humans. You can take a level and go all the way to Italy, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, right? Somebody said, well, it's leaning. Well, I won't know if it's straight or not. I just go there and take and put this on it. It's going to let me know. This is going to tell me the truth, right? You follow me? Here's the road map to heaven right here. Hit it right here. This is God's last message to man. When we conform to it, we'll be right. Wait a minute. In school, high school, grade school, college, university, whatever, the teachers are doing, the teacher is not the standard. I am not the standard. God is not the standard. These preachers over here are not the standard. The Bible is the standard of authority and religion for everybody. You see that? So, somebody's way to check the Christ is right. Wait a minute. The Bible is right. Congregation can get wrong. People can get wrong. I don't guarantee members. I guarantee the doctrine of Christ. Because members of the Church of Christ, some of them will do anything. Amen. It likes to change things. Ain't the first time it happened. Paul predicted to the elders at Ephesus that he said, even from among your own self, speaking perverse things. Paul knew about the standard, and we, brother, we got to stick with it. Speak where the Bible speaks, and be silent where the Bible is silent. Boy, y'all people act like y'all like this. So, come on up here. It may be that one here tonight who have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel. Accept him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the high priest over the house of God, Hebrews 10:21. He's our Savior. He's the Savior of the body. What he's going to save is his church. You see that? You need to be a member of it. Well, Brother Shannon, how did I get in it? Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came down and took a body? He died, he was buried, he was resurrected the third day, and he ascended back to heaven. Do you believe that?
Amen.
You believe that he's sitting on David's throne right now, reigning. He's prophet, priest, and king all at the same time. He's on David's throne. It's not physical, it's spiritual. You got it? And he has a kingdom, right? Daniel 2:44, amen, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, Paul said, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. Brethren, the greatest blessing that you could ever have is remission of sin. And that's why I'm preaching like this. It may be one in your audience or more. who've been walking around 20, 30, 40, 50 years in their sins. I'm trying to plead with you. Do you know where you stand? If you really know when your time was ended and you was in your sin, you would run down the aisle and beg Brother Garland to baptize you into Christ for the remission of sin. Because you better not die now. Nope. Better not die outside of Christ. Repentance can baptize you into Christ. The Lord, you can join it. The Lord adds you to the church. Now, all you need to do now is follow the apostle doctrine. Go on to heaven. Song leader, let's begin. If you're here and remember the Church of Christ and you slipped away, why not return by repentance, confession, and prayer? You do it right now as together we stand. God bless you.
God is calling the prodigal come with
how delay, he'll hear him call. Calling now for thee, though you wander
so far from his presence, come delay. Hear his loving voice calling still.
Calling now for thee,
now for thee.
Brother John, for a good lesson tonight.
Amen.
We're grateful for it. The Bible says the gospel is the power of God for salvation. And that alone is the means that God has spoken to get that word out to the world. It's not our word, it's His word. And it certainly knows that. But I'm maybe speaking again to those on the camera out there. But without that gospel, nobody can be saved. Take away the gospel, God's powerless, because He put the power in the gospel.
Right.
And preach it, and without addition or subtraction, modification, or anything like that. So we're grateful, Brother John, for you being here tonight and telling it like it is. We're thankful for it. So we want you to come back tomorrow night if you can, at 7 o'clock. Then Wednesday night, if you want to sneak off, you can come back then. 7 o'clock, but you need to go to your home congregation first But if you run late or something and this happens to be in your direction, then you can stop by here. Wish we could spend some more time. You know why it was so short. You don't want to preach about 10 minutes. So, anyway, we'll be ready to come back for tomorrow night if you can. And he'll surprise us again with another powerful lesson from God's Word. Not surprise us that he'll do it, but whatever the subject might be, that's what we're talking about. One more song, then Brother Tony Lawrence will lead us in a closing prayer.
We'll sing the first and third verse of number 64, When All of God's Singers Get Home. Number 64.
What a song of delight in a city so bright. We'll be wrapped in the heaven's fair dawn. How the ransom were raised. Happy songs in his praise. When all of God's singers get home. When all of God's singers get home. Where never a sorrow will come. There'll be no place like home when all God's singers get home. Having overcome sin, hallelujah, amen. We'll be heard in that land or the fall. Every heart will be light and each face will be bright when all the God's singers get home. When all of God's singers get home, where never a sorrow will come, there'll be no place like home, when all of God's singers get home.
Would you bow with me, please? Our Holy Father, we are indeed thankful for the privilege we've enjoyed tonight. It has been truly good for us to be here, good to be encouraged and edified, and Heavenly Father, with our minds and our hearts stirred in spreading the gospel to the lost and dying world. We're thankful for Brother Shannon and for the power that he possesses in preaching your word. We're thankful for the power that's in that word. And help us, Heavenly Father, promote the teaching of it in every corner of this world. We're thankful for the good Leona congregation, the eldership, Brother Garland, and all who work here. And Heavenly Father, continue to give us a peaceful night, safe passage home. And Heavenly Father, we look forward to that eternal home in the end. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Appreciate you. Love you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.